Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey guys, welcome back to We Met at Acme. This is episode 17. And I am here with Mike and Brad from the podcast called Too Old to Date. Welcome, Mike and Brad.
What's going on?
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for being here. So let's introduce you guys a little bit. Brad, you go first.
What do you want to know?
Where are you from? How old are you? And what is your current relationship status?
Okay. I am from Detroit, Michigan. Been living in New York for 10 years. I'm 33 years old, about to be 34. And my current status is I got dumped 2 days ago.
Wow. That is perfect timing for the podcast. Thank you for being here in your state.
It's been a process.
Yeah. Well, we're going to hear about that for sure. Mike is just going to introduce himself first. Mike, tell us where you're from and how old you are and your current relationship status.
Well, I'm 36. I was born in Chicago, grew up in Columbus, Ohio. Also lived in Savannah, Georgia before moving to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in a good relationship right now.
Great. I'm so happy for you, except I'm sad that I can't set you up with anyone, but hey. So, Brad, you were in a relationship for how long that you got just dumped?
I don't know if it's fair to really call it a relationship. For 2 months, I was dating someone, but for the last 2 years, I've been single and just going through the motions of dating, so to meet someone that I was excited about was exciting, and I probably got a little too, like, overeager and overexcited.
Mm-hmm.
Knew that I was diving in faster than she was, still disappointing when it ended 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm. And just for my curiosity and hopefully our audience who is now into Zodiac, when's your Zodiac sign? When's your birthday?
I'm an Aquarius. My birthday's on February 4th.
Okay. And Mike, when is your birthday?
I'm May 18th, so I'm a Taurus.
Oh, interesting combo, guys.
How does that jive as friends?
I don't know.
Oh, we are.
No, you guys definitely vibe as friends, but you're just like different people.
Yes, we are.
Most definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't want to glaze past Brad's breakup.
You don't want to glaze past it?
That's a term.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it is.
Glaze over something.
Yeah, you
glaze over it.
Glaze over it.
Yeah.
I don't want to glaze over it.
You don't want to, yeah.
I don't want to brush it off because it happened while we were on a double date.
Well,
the breakup happened?
Sort of.
Half of it. Yeah.
That's so awkward.
We were supposed to go on a double date. We were going to go to a dinner.
Do you think it was too soon for the double?
No, we'd done it before.
Okay. We went on a hike together.
We'd actually gone out of town on a hike, as a part of a big group.
Okay.
She'd met them a couple of times, but she came over to my apartment before this double date, started the breakup. I was determined to not have my night ruined, forced her to come out, which she was fine. She actually, what do you think? She was like a good sport the whole time.
Oh, I had no idea.
Wait, you went out after you broke up?
So the conversation never actually got to the breakup. We had to cut it short because we had to go meet them.
She started the conversation?
She started with, I don't see this really progressing into a full-blown relationship. I was like, your timing is shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolute garbage. Yeah. We're going to go out with my friends anyway.
Right.
And it wasn't until the next morning that she dropped the hammer. So for me, it was a very different night than for everybody else. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And did she say what the problem was, or she was just like, this isn't working for me?
I don't want to reveal too much about her.
Mm-hmm.
But what she said was that everything was fine, but that she is closed off and a little bit damaged.
Mm.
And I think it was more about her than it was about me.
Yeah.
I'm perfect.
Well, I mean, naturally. But when you have a breakup like that, I mean, Mike, I want your opinion too. Like, what is that a legitimate reason?
That she just wasn't... Well, it sounds like she just either didn't want a relationship or just wasn't that into him, mm-hmm. to be honest. Like, it sounds like he... Because I know Brad, we talk often, and he... I'm familiar with his work.
Yeah.
And he talked a lot. Like, you were emotionally invested in it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you were... And at that point, because you kind of get over this hump where you're all in, like, where you're kind of dating other people, and you make a conscious decision to say... You're the person I'm going to go after and I'm going to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard when they kind of pull the rug out from under you a little bit. And mm-hmm. then it's because the most difficult thing is like you get over this person. It's hard to say that I picked them and then they didn't choose me.
Right.
And then it's also hard to get back out there and start doing the dating thing again.
So I really have no ego around it. Like she kind of warned me from the beginning that she was closed off in that way. She never let me into her life in a way that seemed pretty substantial. So when she broke it off in the last few days, it was actually pretty easy to decide to move on again because mm-hmm. all I lost was her. I didn't lose, like, a bunch of friends or, right, or yeah. anything like that. That yeah. being said, the other piece that made it not so hard was I don't think she was ever deceitful about what was going on. Mm-hmm. Like, a few weeks ago, we almost had, like, a define the relationship conversation, and she backed off that, and so the writing was a little bit on the wall.
Right.
Well, you said it, like, day one. You're like, she's just like me, but she's pretty... So I think she's
going to
hurt me.
Right, and I was like, I hurt people's feelings. She's definitely going to hurt my
right.
feelings.
Right, so you knew from the beginning. Like, why continue it when you had feelings that you could have kind of seen, as you said, the writing on the wall?
Sure. I think it's pretty hard to find someone that you really connect with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty cynical and dark mm-hmm. for the most part. And on our first date, this is, like, kind of fucked up, but we had, like, a very candid conversation about, like, suicidal ideation. You bring that up with most people on a date, they're going to, like, run the other way.
Yeah.
And she was game. And she knew that, like, that's not about being suicidal. That's about, like, being open to talking about fucked up stuff.
Can you elaborate on that exactly?
I can tell you the entire story. So I have a skin condition that I wanted to get pills mm-hmm. for, and my doctor was like, so if you have suicidal thoughts, you should tell
what's
us.
What's the condition?
So psoriasis.
Okay.
Pretty much.
And I'm sure a lot of people out there
me
have
and,
psoriasis.
Me and Kim Kardashian. Friends,
you, Kim, and some friends of mine.
And I was like, I want to get on these pills. This is like, it was a weird first date thing to bring up in the first place, but she was mm-hmm. also cool talking about that.
Yeah.
And they were like, if you have suicidal thoughts ever, you should tell us you shouldn't get on the pill. And I was like, but I want the pill. I've definitely thought about suicide before. I'm
right.
not telling my doctor about this. But
right.
she thought that was funny. And a lot of people... when I've told that exact series of words to you, are like,
yeah.
what the fuck is wrong with you, dude?
No, I mean, not to be so fucking dark right now, but I think everyone has had a suicidal thought. And that doesn't mean I want to kill myself, but that's just like, whoa, I wonder,
exactly.
like, what would happen? Yeah. So where were we?
Suicide.
Oh, great. So I think we have to wrap up the suicide combo, but let's like end it on a positive note. You were joking with your doctor. You got the meds. Did everything work out?
Yeah.
Did you have increased suicidal
None.
Thoughts?
No.
There you go.
Makes me a little nauseous every day, but aside from that, it's all good.
Does the nausea make you want to kill yourself?
No, not at all.
That's all that matters then.
I want to kill myself less because my skin is nicer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. So, Mike, let's talk about your new relationship.
Yeah.
How new?
Well, we've been together for just a year now.
Oh.
We passed the year mark.
Just a year.
Well, we just passed the year
you
mark.
You should be proud
say.
Of
it.
I
am, yeah. We've been living together for the last few months, and
oh,
it's been great.
That's awesome. Is she your age?
She is 34.
Okay, and how did you guys meet?
We're both in a running club, and we met that way. So,
did you find out about the club?
I was just...
Is it like a Zog sports thing?
No, it's like I needed something to fit in my work schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And I live close to Central Park, and they meet in the mornings in Central Park.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just like a pure scheduling thing. And mm-hmm. then I ran as... Actually, we both ran as a part
of
it.
So you guys are literally that like meme of a couple running, essentially.
Yeah. Well, she's much faster than I am, so I'm much more behind her than...
Yeah.
Than,
What does it say? It's like, this could be us, but I hate running.
Yeah. That's how we start, and then
But it is their whole life. Like, you go on running vacations. Ran the New York Marathon together, sort of, except she was, like, 2 hours ahead of you.
She was many hours ahead of me. Yeah. She could have watched a movie after she finished.
That's hilarious. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, I'm really happy for you guys, and I hope that you can still talk about your prior single life.
Yes. She does not listen to too old to date, so
great. Works out well. Love it. What does she do, just out of curiosity?
She's an ER physician.
Oh, that's really sexy.
Yeah.
Until she shows you pictures of poop-colored dildos. That's less sexy.
Don't ever look through her photos.
What? Why? Someone got a dildo stuck up their ass?
Yes. A very old man did that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. How?
He was putting it up his ass.
Yeah, but, like, did he sit on it accidentally? Like,
That's a good question.
He just lost track of it when he was going to town on
himself. Yeah, it was just up
How
in there.
How loose is his ass?
All the way, I guess.
Oh,
I guess
would be the way my to say that. God.
Maximum.
I don't know.
That is crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the term.
So,
but I would say
how does your girlfriend feel about your podcast?
She's happy that I'm happy doing it because I get a lot of joy out of doing it. But we made an agreement where she actually doesn't listen to it. Like, she listened to, like, the first season, and we sat down, and she was like, I don't want to listen to this anymore. And I said, I don't want you to listen to this anymore. Because it's like, who wants to hear about their significant other and all their exes' stories?
It's a lot. When's her birthday?
Her birthday is April 18th.
Oh, she is an Aries.
Yes.
That's a great match.
Yeah. We're like the meme.
What makes that a great
match? That's my uncle's birthday. I'm going to see him after this. What makes a great match? A lot of different things. In the Zodiac, it's usually, like, two signs, you know, that have... like characteristics that can withstand each other. In real life, it's very similar.
So what I meant was, like, so he's a Taurus, she's an Aries.
Right.
What makes that good together?
They're both very headstrong people who, like, feel like they want to have a purpose in life and, like, do things, and, like, they're motivated. You know, they're, like, both, what's it called? Like, what's the animal of your sign?
A bull?
Yeah. They're both, like, they both have horns, you know?
Oh.
Like, you're both stubborn, like, in a good way, I think.
Oh, yeah. That's fair.
But she runs your relationship.
Well, yeah.
Well, that's how it should be.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. The guy should love the girl just a tiny bit more than the girl loves the guy, because women are more trustworthy in general. Less likely to stray.
I think that's true in the beginning. I don't know if that's true all the way down.
Like, I mean, it's an ebb and flow, right?
I've heard this a lot, that the man should love the woman just a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I think that that's, like, healthy all the way through. And I also don't think that Mike loves Bree more than Bree loves Mike, or vice versa. I think they love each other the same. She just controls that relationship.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. Like, do you care if somebody else is in control? Like, if you don't, then why does it matter, you know?
It doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, like, some guys are like, okay, yeah, plan my wedding and tell me where to be. And, like... that's awesome. Like, there's no problem with that, for sure. It just depends. Like, everyone wants something different, so it's really interesting. Like, do you consider yourself, because she's in control, do you consider yourself, like, a beta person?
Well, not like that.
Well...
no, I actually don't.
There's no other way to put it.
I know, I actually think that... this is anybody who thinks... well, I think it's actually a pretty equal relationship.
Yeah.
She is a very organized and individual, so mm-hmm. I will go along with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I, at the same time, like, in my own personal life and, like, my work life, and before I met her, I was also, I don't know, very together. So mm-hmm. not from my mental standpoint, not that much has changed.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Interesting. Let's move away from your relationship, because like, she's going to hate me.
I think we've said nothing but nice things.
Yeah, no, we have, but, like, we've said
things. I mean, and by we, I mean me and you, Brad.
Yeah, just awful. Yeah,
good thing you edited that stuff out.
A garbage human being over here. No, I'm just kidding.
I get that.
So Brad and Mike, what dating apps, like, are you on, or were you on?
Let's look. So, right now, mm-hmm. the ones I actually use are Hinge, which I like, and J-Swipe.
Oh, you made it on the league. Good for you.
I think I made it on the league because I have a popular food Instagram. Like, I was 30,000th in line, and then one day they bumped me up to the top.
Tell the world about your food Instagram.
So I run a Instagram called Burger Weekly, and it's exclusively, except for when I feel like it, burgers.
And that's Burger Weekly, if you heard that wrong.
You also went to an Ivy League school, did you not?
I don't think that... First
you went to an Ivy League school? So you don't lead with that?
No, because I did a dual program between Columbia and the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, which doesn't sound as
cool. Not as hot.
Which one of those two is the Ivy League?
Right. But I didn't put that in my league profile either.
Okay.
I really think they found a lot of followers on a food account.
Yeah. I did not get accepted into the league, and I'm looking for any reason
that
possible.
That is so fucked up.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I honestly have to tell you, I didn't either. I hacked the system. I was working with a coder, and we figured it out, and I just like wanted to check it out, so I got in immediately because we hacked it. So fuck you, the league.
So I actually think the league sucks, too. I mean, it's very few matches a day, and people don't speak to each other. Like, they don't connect as much on it.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Hinge really pushes conversation a lot, and it's worked out really well for me.
Yeah, Hinge is awesome.
And then I just think Jewish women tend to be more attracted to me, so J-Swipe has been
great. Yeah. No, oh my God. I actually have, like, so many people to say, are you a Jew?
You're a Jew. Huge Jew.
You're a Jew. Yeah. You're Zach's cousin.
Yeah.
I have some beautiful Jews for you.
I'll take it.
I have nothing
but time now.
I have. Great. We'll discuss that. So let's talk about too old to date.
Great.
Where did it come from? Do you guys believe that you're too old to date?
So that's not really what the title of the podcast is supposed to mean, although
what
it
is
how
it
everyone takes
to
it.
Mean?
The idea was, so Mike is divorced, actually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to hear about that.
Was married through all of his 20s.
Okay. Yeah,
pretty much.
And so when he became single again, the whole dating world had changed completely.
Mm.
It's from what well, you can.
Well, I met my ex in 2000. Mm-hmm. And so from 2000 to 2011, we were together, or even longer than that, like 99 to 2012 or something.
So you met her when you were how old?
I was 19.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was a sophomore in college,
mm-hmm.
and we met, and then we got married right after college, and we were married for a while.
Where did you go to school?
At that point, I was at Ohio State.
Okay. And that's where you met her?
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's also why I probably didn't get into the league. Wait,
where did you say you were from again?
I was born in Chicago, but I grew up in Columbus, Ohio.
All right. Cool.
And so during that time period, the online, like, all types of dating had changed entirely. It mm-hmm. went from, like, we barely had cell phones when mm-hmm. I met her. So the idea of going from that to a swiping app was such a foreign concept to me.
Mm-hmm. And where is she from?
She also lived in Columbus, but originally Atlanta.
Okay.
So I just said that, like, getting back into it was just this process where you feel like you've been away from. Because not only have you been away from dating, but the entire world has changed out from underneath you. So I just kind of felt too old to do it.
Yeah.
So that's, and it was just a catchy name, I think.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think we came up with it on the couch and we never thought of anything better. Yeah.
Right.
But so the concept of this.
It's a good name.
Yeah, it works. And also, like, when we advertise it, people ask us a lot, are you too old to date? And my response is always, I hope not, but why don't you help me find out?
Mm-hmm.
And Mike came to me with the idea of doing a web show about dating. And we started writing it, and it was too expensive to produce.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, why don't we just make it a podcast? No one's ever, as far as I know, no one's ever done a scripted comedy podcast. Definitely not about this subject.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mike thought I meant let's do like your kind of show, mm-hmm. like an advice show about dating. And I was like, we are not capable of handling that.
Yeah.
We're not doing that. No, I mean, let's just take the scripts that we've already written and make them an audio show. We'll get a narrator.
Mm-hmm.
And people seem to like it from the beginning. We just take...
When was that? When was the first episode?
A year ago. We aired the first four at the same time.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
On both accounts.
Thanks. Yeah. My first date with my girlfriend was
the first episode?
Was the first day that we recorded.
Yeah.
So I left the recording studio and went straight to a bar to meet her.
Oh, right. That
That's
was when we started the studio.
Like everything happens for a reason to
yeah.
me.
Yeah. And
right.
I told her all about what I was doing just so I could get it out of the way so it wasn't like a funny thing later.
Yeah. And she was chill about
yeah,
it.
She was cool with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the show is mostly true stories.
Mm-hmm.
We change everyone's names that aren't us.
Mm-hmm.
We change what they do for a living. The only thing we keep is what happened on the date and like maybe what neighborhood they live in, because what neighborhood you're in matters.
Yeah, it matters.
So what's the craziest story so you can entice people to listen to your podcast, like that you've, you know, heard from a guest or that has happened to you?
Okay, how about we do this? I'm going to say your craziest story, okay, and you can say mine, because I think that's
perfect.
We'll judge better.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay, so I think right, Mike's craziest story is, and it's the only one that we've had like a live like sex scene for on the show.
What?
But Mike came, there used to be a place called Joe's, just called Joe's. It was a bar on the Upper West Side. And I remember he showed up one day when the owner and I are hanging out, and he's like, check it out, I'm going to go out with the first black girl I've ever gone out with.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at her photo, I'm like, dude, she's young. This girl looks like she's maybe 18.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I'm trying something new.
Yeah.
I think her profile said she was like 24 or 25.
Right,
okay, but she's, I was like, legal, yeah.
Oh, definitely legal, but clearly not as old as she was saying she was.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to like put too much effort in because the age gap was so big. He was like, whatever, I'll just try to booty call this one. She comes over to his apartment. They start fooling around a little bit. It becomes very clear that she's a little bit unstable. And after they start hooking up, she gets very emotional and reveals to him in sort of a roundabout way that she used to be very recently a prostitute.
What?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So that was our season 2 finale, was about that?
Yeah. Oh, season 2 or season 3.
God.
Yeah.
Continue.
Which, that's my mom, because I know she listened to it.
Oh, right. God. Wait, so first of all, had you used a condom?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Like 3 of them. No.
Yeah, that works.
When did she reveal the prostitute after sex, though?
After sex, yeah.
Okay.
And well, there was a lot of strange things that were going on. Like, she knew the doorman in my building,
mm-hmm,
which she never fully explained. She was like, oh, I've just been in your building a lot.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, well,
what building was that?
It's on the Upper West Side. Mm-hmm. It's just like a regular Upper West Side building.
Sure.
And I was like, well, did you used to live here? And she said, no. I said, do you have friends here? She said, no. I was like, well, then how do you know the doorman in my building? Those are the only two. Were you a delivery
person? So did
she
explain why how she became a prostitute?
No, I pieced together a lot of little bits of information.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she'd been in my building a lot, she'd just gotten arrested, she hadn't moved back into her parents, she had a lot of money, now she didn't, and the things she said during the sex would indicate.
Can I ask you an intimate question? Did you go down on her?
I did not.
Okay.
No.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot to take in. So...
The actress who played her on the show was amazing.
Yeah. Well, the irony is, so we wrote the sex scene, and I'm so awkward, I wrote all of these sex scene words and moaning sounds for the actor, like an asshole. I wrote them all for her, and I said nothing during the sex scene. It was like, narrator, woman, narrator, and I just...
When she was recording it, I hid in your bathroom. I was like so embarrassed for everyone.
Yeah.
It came out really well.
I need to listen to this episode.
Yeah.
Where can people find it?
You can go to tooldtodate.com or search for Too Old to Date on iTunes.
Great. But what episode? It's season...
Oh, so that... It's the season 2 finale. The episode's called Michael Abides.
Okay, great. And Mike, tell me Brad's craziest story.
Please don't talk about piddle pads.
Come on.
What are piddle pads?
So...
What the fuck?
Brad had... So we had hung out earlier in the night. Brad had said that he had having really great text interactions with this woman. He showed me a picture. She was attractive.
Mm-hmm.
She was exactly Brad's type. He was like, you were genuinely excited about this because she was funny and she was witty and you guys had good banter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
About 10 o'clock at night, I get a text from him saying, I'm going over to her house. If you don't hear from me by 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, here's her address. and I said, okay. And then the next day I saw him and he... told me about what happened. Basically, he had gone over to meet this woman.
You left out like all the red flags.
Well, yeah.
What were the red flags?
So first off, when we were together earlier in the night, I'd been drinking a lot, so I was ready to meet up with her. Even though, yes, we talked a bit and it had been good, but there had been a decent amount of red flags. One, she had disappeared completely at one point, and when she came back, she was like, "Sorry, I had something weird happen with a guy, and I was feeling kind of weird about it." On the way over there, I was in an Uber, and she asked me to pick up a dozen pink roses from the bodega by her apartment. I told Mike that, and he was like, okay, that's fucking weird. I was like, yeah, that's really weird.
She asked you to get her flowers.
Yeah, but you guys were meeting down by the bodega, right?
Not yet. I asked her then to meet me at the bodega.
Which seemed like the safest, smartest decision other than just going straight to a stranger's apartment.
I didn't know what was going on. I was like, I feel like I'm getting set up for something weird. So I stood... kitty corner from the bodega, waited for her to show up, and she was the girl from her dating profile.
But she was
She was wearing high heel shoes, like frilly lingerie type shorts, and like a regular tank top, but like full makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And I showed up, and she was like not making good eye contact. Like clearly, something was off. Mm-hmm. It turned out there was a lot off.
Mm-hmm.
She took me by the arm. We went back to her apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, there were wilted pink roses in her apartment that she swapped out with these roses.
But that matched the everything else pink in her apartment.
Everything in her apartment was pink. And the apartment smelled pretty bad. It smelled like dog pee. And that was because there were piddle pads, hence the name of the episode is mm-hmm. piddle pads, all over the apartment.
Mm.
And the dog was like 18 years old and didn't go outside.
Holy
shit. It was like a weird, jittery...
That's so creepy. Old, scary. That's like dog Grey Gardens.
Yes, right. it had a very Grey Gardens vibe.
And I want you to keep that environment in your head for the rest of the right. story.
It's also really warm in her apartment, and I'm pretty drunk, and I'm getting like kind of tired. And the stuff she's saying to me right off the bat made me think I should leave, but I'm feeling lazy. I'm not going to leave. She's saying things like, so I'm recently sober. I had a serious drug problem. My friends haven't started accepting me back into their lives yet. My family's pretty much ostracized me.
Sorry.
I can't believe you're ignoring Grandma Barbara.
Love you, Grandma.
Should we get her in for this story?
Yeah, we might have to.
Then she tells me the reason that she had fallen off the face of the earth a few days earlier was that she had been out with a guy and he had asked her to go to the bathroom with her, where she went down on him, though she didn't want to go down on him. But then why did she go to the bathroom with him? She talked about like what his cum tasted like.
Wait. She went down on a guy in the bathroom
at some rooftop bar
on your date.
No. We didn't go on a date. Our whole date was just in her apartment.
It was in the bodega with the flowers and the heels.
Okay. I just needed to clarify that because that would be so epic.
And she gave me so many details about what she did with this guy. And then I noticed she had a little bruise on her chin. And I asked her what that was about. And she was like, well, then we went back to his place and he was a dom and he like beat the shit out of me. I was like, there's a lot of honesty
Holy
here.
Holy shit.
So at this point, I've decided I'm not going to hook up with her.
I feel like I know this girl.
I hope not. She lives in Manhattan.
Wait, can you say who it is?
I actually don't remember her name.
Keep it. Okay.
Yeah. I do have it written down somewhere, but I don't remember it off the top of my head. I'm I mentioned a couple times, I'm pretty drunk, and I'm like, is it all right if I just close my eyes for a minute, and then I'm going to go? And she said yes. And when I woke up, she was going down on me, and I left out an important part. The other thing she said about this guy was she was upset that he made her wear a condom. So now I'm thinking this is a girl who insists on having unprotected sex with strangers.
Oh, my God.
And now I've woken up.
Why are you still at her apartment?
I don't have a good answer for that.
Because he was making bad decisions.
Right. But I've asked her to stop. So I ask her to stop. She doesn't stop. And then I'm like, okay, screw this. I actually grab her, throw her off of me, go to the bathroom, start like washing myself off as if that's a thing that you can do. And the dog is in the bathroom.
Because she had magic soap. Right. Magic STD soap.
And the dog's in the bathroom staring at me as I'm doing this. I'm like, my life has really hit a low point. I walk outside and she's in the fetal position crying, saying like, this always happens to me. I'm too aggressive. Guys keep coming. Guys will come up and they'll come up to my apartment and then they decide they don't want me. Like there's something wrong with me. I'm like, I don't know what to do here.
Yeah, that's holy shit.
So then I left. And I'm really worried that what her reaction is going to be. Like she has this bruise on her face. I rejected her. Is she going to like cause trouble? And I was so relieved when like an hour after I woke up the next day, she sent me a text saying, I'm sorry if I scared you off. And I was just like, I appreciate the apology. Goodbye.
Right.
And that was the end of it.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
I feel so bad. Like, first of all, like, what do you do about a girl like that? You know?
Nothing. She's living her life. I can't deal.
Do you think that like there's any hope for her to find a guy? Like, do you think there's any guy that wouldn't be scared off by
that? She's got 18 other problems before she ever finds a relationship. Yeah, like, she needs to get her... She needs to stop blowing dudes in rooftop bathrooms. Right. And then...
That's true.
Yeah. And enough with the piddle pads. Take the dog out.
Yeah, that's fucking disgusting.
I'm sure the dog... That was a couple years ago now. The dog is gone.
Oh, may he rest.
So those are the two of the more extreme episodes. Yeah. There are also episodes that are just crazy. About like more run-of-the-mill things everyone can kind of relate to.
Totally.
Like who pays for a date, who
Well, who does pay for a date? What are you going to do if she offers?
I've said this. So I've been, and Brad laughs at this. I've been on over 100 dates, and Brad thinks that's amateur hour.
Yeah, it's not a lot.
It's so in that amount of time, there's three things that can happen. There's because I can, the bill comes. Mm-hmm. I go to grab it. She reaches for her purse, which is great because that allows me the opportunity to say, no, thank you. Like, no, I got this. Mm-hmm. And she can say, thank you. And that's the ideal situation. Because mm-hmm. Brad says, if...
It's actually not my... I stole this from, like, an Australian dating expert. But mm-hmm. it's... If a guy doesn't pay on a first date, you shouldn't go on a second date. And if a girl doesn't offer to pay on a first date, you shouldn't go on a second date. I don't so much believe in that second bit. Like, if she doesn't offer to pay, but she says thank you, or, you know, because sometimes you just get nervous and you don't know what to do in that moment.
Mm-hmm. But it's a nice little dance. Like, it's a nice little, like, I'm doing this thing because I'm a gentleman and you're showing appreciation for me doing this thing. And it's nice. Mm-hmm. Okay. I've only had one, there was one woman who insisted on splitting the bill with me.
Yeah, me too. That's only happened to me once.
Yeah. And I was fine. I'm totally fine with that. I wasn't, you know. I don't have any problem with that.
Did you see her again?
No, I did not.
Did you?
I think once, but she was just not for me. Mm-hmm. Regardless of the money
thing. So why do you think that she insisted? Like, on both accounts?
I think Hillary Clinton had a lot to do with the one that I went out with. And this was before Hillary's presidential
run. Why? Please don't say anything bad about Hillary.
I have nothing bad to say about Hillary. Okay, but so, I just remember that she was on Hillary's, I think, 08 campaign. Hmm. And was just very much like, women should be as, you know, primary as men, and I feel uncomfortable letting you pay at all. That's her prerogative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what about you, Mike?
Same thing. She just said that she felt that if we were going to go into a relationship, it should be equal footing. And she was like geared up for a fight. And I was like, no, that's fine. Yeah. Like, it's good. Mm-hmm. It's I'm really fine paying half the amount that I was planning on. It's great.
Oh, yours wanted to split.
Yeah, she wanted to. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And no, I've never had somebody straight up pay.
Oh, yeah. No, right?
No, of course not.
No. I mean, that would be crazy. That's actually really funny.
What a ridiculous thing to say. You fucking idiot. My problem is, like, even if I go on a really bad date, I can't bring myself to let her split it.
Yeah. So even if it's a bad date, you can't let her split it.
I wish I had that ability because I would have a lot more money in my bank account right now, but I just feel weird about it.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys work during the day? I'm assuming you're not, or do you just do the podcast?
No, I'm the VP of marketing for a nonprofit organization.
Oh, awesome. Mm-hmm. Congrats. Thanks. Great to be involved in charity in some way.
I enjoy it very much.
What is the nonprofit called? Maybe people will donate after listening.
We actually don't accept donations, but if they want to tell people to participate, it's called Onward Israel.
Even better, yeah.
And it's mostly for college students and recent college grads who've gone on Birthright to go back for 8 weeks on an internship to Israel in the summer.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really cool.
That's a beautiful thing. On behalf of the Jews, I thank you.
That's a bold statement on behalf of all the Jews.
I just assume that the Jews agree.
We accept.
Like, what Jew would be like, not me? Like, okay, Mike.
I'm an artist on animated movies.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So what kind of movies?
So the company's called Blue Sky Studios. Mm-hmm. We just came out with a film in December called Ferdinand, about Ferdinand the Bull.
Oh, so I'm going to see it. Yeah. Is it still in theaters?
It is.
Cool.
You committed to seeing it before knowing it was still in theaters.
Well, I could still see it. I hope it's not playing in like only Long Island City.
No. It's a Golden Globe nominated animated feature.
Wow. Did you get nominated?
Not me personally, but the film that I worked on did.
That's you, basically. Yeah, that's fucking awesome.
So we did that. We've done two Rio movies, mm-hmm. a whole bunch of Ice Age movies, mm-hmm. Peanuts, Horton Hears a Who, all that good stuff.
Wait, I love Horton Hears a Who.
Yeah, that was us.
That is literally, like, one of the best animated films I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Yeah, they won't let me tell my dating stories in the movie. I thought that was Disney. No. I mean,
It's all Fox.
Well, it's us, and then we got bought by Twins.
So you went to film school.
I went to animation. I went to art school, and then I went to animation school.
That's really awesome. Mm-hmm. Oh, what's your favorite animated show?
Like animated movie or animated?
Animated TV show.
Animated TV show. I do really like Rick and Morty.
I was just going to say Rick and Morty, probably.
It's great.
It's definitely like a stoner show.
I really like BoJack Horseman, too.
What channel is that on?
That's on Netflix.
Oh.
And it's one of the smartest shows I've ever seen.
What about South Park?
South Park was great.
Mm-hmm. South Park was great.
It was. It sure was.
Wait. Why was?
This season was rough.
Yeah.
Really?
But they've been on for so many years. I mean, I don't mean on the air.
Why
I mean
was
on
this
their
season
game
so bad I didn't watch?
I think that kind of sums it up. Like, no one was like, hey, you got to watch this season of South Park.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't hear a word about it.
Yeah.
I've watched a bunch of it. I can't tell you a single thing that happened.
Yeah. It's crazy. So going back to dating for a little bit, Mike, when you were single, when was, I guess this is the opposite of when you were single, but when was your longest, like, relationship before your one now?
I, like, 3 dates. I had the, like, 12-year relationship, and then I just, for, like, 4 years, I was just cycling through very short relationships, right, if you can even call them that.
So can we dive into the, like, just when you first got divorced, like, what was dating like? Like, was it something that you set up front? Was it something that you waited, like, third date?
I let the conversation kind of naturally flow with it.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, it would just... I never hid it. I would never lie about it.
Mm-hmm.
I was never always that... I never came right out and said it.
Mm-hmm.
But I usually like to get it out there pretty early because it definitely did stop some people from seeing me. Like, I definitely had some people saying, like, I don't want to be with someone who's been married before.
Was it, and did you lose any, like, good ones that you were like, wow, that really sucks?
I did, yeah, like, yeah, yes, I did.
That's hard, like, that's upsetting to hear because I feel like, and I think I actually did a poll question on this recently, like, that people would date someone who's divorced.
Sure, and I think... I said this, so for our podcast, I went to a matchmaker, and she was going through all the things that, she was asking me, would you date somebody who was this, would you date somebody who was that, and she said, would you date someone with kids, and I said, yeah, I think so, and then she said, well, I know someone, and the second she made it real, I was like, I don't think that's best for me. So I think some people in their minds say they want, but
right.
I get it. If you want to do the marriage thing with someone the first time through, that's all you. My point was, like, I never stressed about it because it's like not being tall, like, there, it's just something about myself I couldn't change.
Was it if you don't mind me asking, was it like a nasty divorce or like are you on good terms? You talk now?
we talk on occasion now. I mean, no divorce is good. Anyone who says, like, we just flew through the divorce is lying to you.
Right.
They're all pretty awful in weird ways. Mm-hmm. But anyone who's been through a bad breakup knows how that goes. Mm-hmm. You just have to do that plus, like, go to court with the other person and declare before a judge that you don't want to be together anymore.
Yeah.
But it's... but it really is, like, a good life experience to go through that, so you can kind of... recenter yourself, and that's actually the whole dating, the difficulty of getting back into dating after a divorce is you're redefining yourself in these new roles and just trying to figure yourself out again. So
I have a friend who dated someone who was divorced, and she actually was the one I think that got burned by the situation because it didn't seem like it was like the right timing. Like, it was the girl after her that he ended up falling for.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because, like, you never know when you're healed or not.
Right. Yeah, totally. I mean, I know that I was pretty broken there for a long time. Like, I didn't...
How long did it take you out of, like, if you think?
I mean, literally, it was probably a couple years before... I didn't even know how to emotionally get to the next level in a relationship. Like, I didn't understand how
that
worked.
But when were you, like, dating again, thinking you were over it and not being over it?
Oh, I would say, yeah. I would say probably... I mean, I was getting back into dating maybe 6 months to a year after the divorce. But you're just kind of doing it to do it, and you don't really know. It's just, like, nothing ever feels
like, did
right.
You have to break a couple hearts because you were like, I can't. Like,
probably. Just... Yeah, definitely.
Uh-huh.
Because it's one of those things that you realize about dating is that everyone's on different timelines, I guess, or different wavelengths. And it sucks sometimes because you'll really like someone, but you have no idea what they're going through in their life.
That's so they may not. So
yeah. But they may legitimately have a thing going on that you don't know about.
Totally. So something I want to ask you guys about, which I feel like you know about and maybe have talked about on your own podcast, are sex clubs, like secret sex societies. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of any?
So I have a good friend whose name I won't mention who, before he got married this past summer, was like a sex club guy. That's a male friend. And I have a female friend who actually lives in Florida now who was taken to a lot of them. When she was in a relationship here in Florida, in New Orleans, she like became a little bit of like a sex club tourist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they're so secret. I think they're pretty easy to find out about if you're inclined.
How do you find out?
Internet.
It's more difficult for
Craigslist? Like what?
No, I just think like Google. And then advertisements for them show up.
Yeah, but who wants to go join a sex club they found on Google?
I think anyone who's interested in joining a sex club...
wants the top of the line, I hopefully. Guess,
well, for one thing, I think what Mike was about to say, if I'm right, it's true. It's easier for women to find a good one than it is for men, too, or at least to get into them.
Well, because most of them require, if you're a man, that you have a woman with you.
Or two women with you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because most women can go by themselves, but for a man... Because
that's fair.
Yeah, of course.
So when my buddy would send me the websites describing them, they'd all be like, this is top, no, I wouldn't say top of the line, but like, this is very exclusive, da 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 da. And then you can, I don't know if it's Yelp, but I think it's Yelp. You can check reviews on Yelp about these places, and the reviews are very different than the way these things are sold. It was like, the couches were kind of like crummy and not so much like your typical.
Where are the clubs usually?
I think I know there's one in Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, some of them move
around. Oh, they're not like pop ups at people's apartments?
No, I think they would like rent the same space.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. Oh, it's the TGI Fridays down the street.
But I don't know. Like, I don't know because I was talking about it with some friends this weekend and. We said that, like, there's... One friend had heard of a sex club that's, like, you know, top of the line or whatever the fuck it is. And, like, everyone's really hot, and you don't have to fuck. Like, you could also watch. Which also makes no sense to me, because, like, who wouldn't just watch then, you know?
I think some people want to go for the first time and just
watch. Yeah. It's true. But they said they brought friends, like, and, you know, one friend who they thought would love it, and one who, like, is more, like, prudish. Mm-hmm. And... it was actually the one who they thought would love it that was, like, not into it. And, like, the prudish one who was, like, so obsessed. And, like, had no idea that they were gonna be. And then they ended up, like, staying and, you know, joining this sex club. Which, it's crazy, I guess. But it's, like, it doesn't seem like you get any emotional satisfaction from it. Do you agree?
I don't know. Okay, so I... How do I describe this person without revealing who they are? Someone I knew in Detroit, still know in Detroit, he was married, and he and his wife started frequenting sex clubs.
Mm-hmm.
He is now married to someone else that he met at the sex club.
Wow.
And I think
straight out of like an episode of Sex and the City.
For sure. And she was, I think, for a brief time also dating someone else she met at the sex club. Now she's single again, but he got remarried, and now they're like a Brady Bunch family of swingers. So, I mean, the kids are children.
Do they still swing?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
It was also like news in my hometown that this happened.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
So some people are able to do that, but just from my own personal preference and perspective, I don't think I would get much emotion out of that.
Mm-hmm. And what about you?
Yeah, I also think it's like a physical thing, and also just like a curiosity thing. Like you just want to, and it's a pretty, it's a pretty safe environment to be experimental.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing overall. If that's
do you think it's
into.
Like for people who can't get sex elsewhere when they're single?
No.
Or like are some of these people in relationships?
I don't think people who can't get sex elsewhere would do well at a sex club.
I think you have to be sex confident, right? You have to be a little bit sure of yourself to be able to go, especially if there are people watching you.
So you have to be like someone who has had a lot of sexual experiences.
Or at least has unearned confidence in your sexual ability.
Right. Yeah. You have false confidence. That works well there too.
Sure.
Yeah.
But if you don't know how to talk to a woman or a man, whatever you're into, you're not going to do better at that because it's in a less intimate setting.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, it's weird to call that less intimate, but that's sort of how I see it.
It's very interesting to me. Would you guys ever want to swing? Like when you're
like right
married?
Now?
when you're married?
I don't think that's what I want out of my relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But... Yeah, I've known people that have done it, and they're very, very happy in their relationship, so it's all good for them.
I don't think I would do it, but, like, I've been in relationships where that was part of, like, the role play.
Yeah.
And I think that was a fine place to... For me, that was a fine place to leave it.
Mm-hmm. I'll put it this way, and I guess this goes back to me being a beta, is that I would never initiate it, but if I was with somebody and that's what they wanted to do...
Right.
Like, I wouldn't say no right away. I'd be like, yeah, sure. I mean, I would allow that to...
That's very nice and, like, open-minded. I like that.
Yeah, once you go through a divorce, you're pretty open-minded. Like, if this makes people happy, then sure. Go crazy.
Totally. What are some deal breakers for you guys? Like,
So this last breakup has me thinking a lot about deal breakers in general, because I was like, this chick's perfect, but physically was actually not the most perfect. Like, this sounds like...
No, it's okay.
Okay,
it's
so
okay.
She's very pretty, and, like, her face was, like, the exact type that I go for all the time. But I remember, like, when we hooked up the first time, I was like, oh, that's not what I expected, and I didn't care, because I was so into her. And I was like, I guess I don't have the deal breakers that I thought I had physically.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you remember, like, a little bit before that, I went out with that girl in Queens, and she was a smoker, and I hate it.
Yeah, the smoking is a big one.
But I was really attracted to her, and so I didn't care in that moment. Mm. And then this time around, I'm, like, back on the apps, and I'm seeing people from, like, Hoboken and Astoria. I'm like, man, that's a pain in the dick to get to from my apartment.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty lonely right now, so I don't know. Maybe it just, like, fuck it.
No, I'm telling you, like, I know some really great people that live in Hoboken.
Yeah, I don't think it's a character flaw. It's just like a huge pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that it's just as like much of a pain as like Brooklyn Heights or something.
For sure.
Yeah.
You know?
But I'm on the Upper East, so, so that's a pain for some people too. Mm-hmm. Actually, there was a girl on Tinder today, she was in Clinton Hill, and I was like, oh, I'm on the Upper East. If that's a deal breaker for you, so be it, I understand, as a joke, and then she unmatched me.
Never again.
No way.
For real. I was pretty surprised, but...
Whatever, no, better you know now that she'll never get the joke,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
Right, for sure.
She'll just never get the joke.
She said my hair looks good, I was so happy with that, and then unmatched.
You do have nice hair.
Thank you very
much.
You both have really nice hair.
That's why we're on a podcast.
Yeah, right? I mean,
so no one can see it.
But yeah.
Yeah, so deal breakers for me. I mean, there's all the basic ones. There's geography. Yeah. I don't like smokers. But I guess we did a podcast about this that I went out with somebody who just called everything weird. Remember that?
It was just like, I hate that.
Like, oh, that's weird.
It
like,
really sucks.
It sucks. You're like, what? Why are you doing that? Like, be more open-minded.
I actually had a friend that did that once, and she would call me weird. Like, everything I said was weird. But,
really?
Like, I am weird.
You know? I think so it's like one of the meanest things you can say to someone.
Yeah.
It's mean if you are saying it in a mean way, you know? But, like, if, like, there's a positive, like, if I'm like, you're weird.
Yeah.
Like, I like that, you know? Then that's great. But, like, if you're, like, saying it in a derogatory way, then that's fucked up.
Yeah, if you're like, isn't it weird that this thing looks like that? Oh, isn't that crazy?
Your friend is so weird.
But when somebody tells you a story about what they did and they go, that's weird. Like, it's just like...
It's like, you're worthless.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's like, what I do is great and
you're shutting. Yeah, you're shutting them down, too. Like, I just recently was talking about, like, how easy it is to be negative. And, like, how just anyone will go along with it. Like, if I'm like... That's ugly. You're like, yeah, I agree. But, like, it's just, you know, so much harder to actually put yourself out there and, like, say something different. And that's why it's that much meaner when someone says that's weird.
One of the things I've been noticing lately is when... So, New York is filled with restaurants you want to go to and clubs you want to see and, like, just the thing happening. So, lots of it is that I'm finding annoying is, like, when I hear about a new restaurant that I know a friend of mine will like...
Right.
I will text it, like, hey, there's this new Moroccan restaurant that's opening on the Lower East Side. I really think you're going to like it.
Yeah.
And their response is, oh, I know about it already. It bothers me because it's like,
that's so rude.
Like, I understand that you know about it already, but also understand that I heard about a thing and I thought about how it would make you happy and I went out of my way to message you about it. And, like, I'm not...
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, buddy.
That pisses me off.
I just know you like Moroccan food. No,
that's actually such a good call. Like, I have a friend that does that, and I think of them, and I'll send them a text, and I'll be like, and they'll be like, I know, or like we'll be talking, and I'll be like, oh, that's terrible, and they'll be like, I know, but like you don't fucking know. like it's so annoying.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
And if I am gonna say that, which sometimes I do, I'm not innocent of that, but I'll be like, I know, I totally agree, like. You know, we should go there together. You just gotta give them something.
If Brad had said, If the response was, oh, I heard about that place, we should try it sometime.
I heard about it too.
Totally better.
Let's check it out.
Oh, I'm so excited about it.
Not just like, thanks, like, noted, but I already knew, like Simon.
I'm not your fucking news alert. Yeah. I'm your friend who's trying to tell you a thing.
I'm actually a real shit about that when it comes to, like, news. So, like, I think I told you this when you first brought this problem up to me.
Yeah, I mentioned it to Brad the other day.
Was like, my best friend from college will always text me about, like, the news of the day.
Yeah.
And I read the news when I wake up in the morning. And
I'm usually friends, like,
motherfucker, I already know, because for some reason I take it as an insult that he thinks I don't know about these things. But really, he's asking me to talk with him about the issue.
Again, oh, that's cute.
And I need to get better about
that. He heard a thing. Right. He thought of you.
Right.
He
went out. No, I actually have a very similar situation. And then, like, so I read the news, obviously, but I also live with a news person. Hey, what's up? So
Anderson Cooper's in the room right now.
And Anderson texts me like every day, like before the news breaks. Oh, sorry, I'm just so popular.
Grandma Barbara.
And Anderson texts me like every time there's an update. And so now like I'm just so ahead of it. But I have friends that like will text me and be like, yeah, like 2 hours after Anderson has, and be like, terrorist attack like on the West Side Highway, and I'll be like, yeah, I'm aware, but thank you for looking out.
That's,
you know,
better.
You always have to say something,
right?
But but it's funny because I did say that, and then I tweeted like, it's funny when your friend texts you the news but you already fucking know the news. And my friend saw it and she was like, you're such a fucking bitch.
Tweeting is way worse.
But like, I wasn't even doing, like, I had no, I was happy if she had found it, I would have laughed, which I did, you know.
You were just stoked that someone was reading your Twitter feed.
Yeah, exactly. No one does. No, seriously, no people do. My best tweet ever is like, I think it has 7 likes, but that's like huge for 2018 Twitter. We are getting low on time. I want to hear your favorite date spots in the city.
I mean, mine are usually catered to like where she lives.
That's very thoughtful, and all guys should follow that.
So that was one of the things when I first started dating that blew my mind, that because I would talk to somebody and they would say like, you know, hey, I'd like to take you out sometime.
Right.
And I would just say, where do you live? They would like, what's convenient for you?
Right.
They would tell me a neighborhood. I would pick a spot and a time. And I had probably, I don't know, almost every woman I wanted to date with, just, oh, I really appreciate that. And I'm like, how else do you do it? Like, how else?
Right.
I guess it's like, I don't know, where do you want to go?
Right.
It's lame.
So I went on a date yesterday with a girl in Greenwich Village. And I was like, yeah, let's meet up. We'll go to Ampersand. And then I was at lunch with my cousin yesterday.
What's Ampersand?
It's a bar in Murray Hill. And I got it confused with a bar called Analog, which is a bar.
Oh, I know Analog. Yeah. Analog's great. I feel like I've been on a date there.
And the date went really well.
Great.
But the date at Ampersand would have been a disaster.
This is post-dumping?
Yeah, this was the next day. I just got to get right back.
No, I do the same shit.
So Analog was awesome. Ampersand would have been a disaster. But yeah, there's like good spots in every neighborhood. So like Analog's a great one in Greenwich Village.
Mm-hmm.
On the Upper East, I really like the Daisy or Bondurant's, mostly because they're on my corner.
I've never heard of that. Where do you live?
On 85th and 2nd.
Okay, cool. You, not far from my parents.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
let's get on the Upper West.
My grandma lives there.
Gethard's is good.
For me, and this isn't a good first date spot, but a good like second, third, fourth date spot is a place called Shalal. Have you been there?
Yeah, so our friend...
Is that kosher?
It's not. It's Turkish.
Oh. Yeah. A friend of ours, Aaron, he just went there and he like said it was the best date he's ever had.
It's
and it was
great.
A first date.
And it's great because it's unexpected because it's like on 70th and Columbus, maybe 69th, I can't remember. But it's in a basement bar.
Mm-hmm.
It's like candles everywhere. It's just like really cool. They use like the natural basement space, like the concrete and stuff. But like it feels like you're in an old, you're like an old Italian or French bar.
Awesome.
Yeah. Like it's great. It feels like it's 400 years
romantic.
Old.
I like Manhattan Cricket Club up there.
Yes.
That's good. Yeah. So that's uptown.
Cool.
And then downtown, it's easier because there's a lot of good stuff. Mm-hmm. I like the other room a lot for a date.
Yeah.
Or another room.
Good suggestions.
Or any other room.
Out.
Any other room.
Hopefully everyone is taking notes. Yeah. Any last words for some single guys and not single guys out there?
Just be nice, single guys.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be harder than it should be, but I work with all women and all their stories are mortifying. Just be nice to people.
Mm.
And make a plan.
Yeah.
When you're
Like ask right him, after the first date.
Yeah, don't. If you're going to ask somebody out, ask them to a thing at a time. Mm. Say, I would like to take you to Ampersand. Mm-hmm. What was the other one?
Analog. Analog. Don't take them to Ampersand.
And what about for girls? Would you say, don't say whatever you want to do?
For women, I would just say.
I would say don't take anything personally after a first date because it's probably not about you. Mm. It's probably about their bullshit.
What about after a third?
You can start to take it personally then.
Then it's about you. Yeah. Then it's you.
Change.
I would say for women, stop canceling dates an hour before the date. I devoted my night to this. Or you know, at least lie to me. Like, because you know you're going to want to cancel it.
Right.
Just lie to me the day before.
I feel like you're talking to me personally. I'm sorry.
No, it's like, it's. I mean, I was talking to Brad. Yeah. I mean, it was like rapid fire texting that you do with your friend. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, what are you up to tonight? Oh, I've got a date. Oh, that's cool. Oh, she just canceled.
Right.
Like, not
because she saw a friend at the gym and wanted to hang out with her more. She was honest with me.
That's honesty.
But I'm like, I'm not going out with her now.
Yeah.
Wait, but that was the second time she said, I canceled because I saw a friend at the gym and wanted to hang out with that friend.
That is exactly correct.
It's usually the plague.
At that point, yeah.
There's a plague striking Manhattan that makes everybody sick the day I'm supposed to go on a date with them. Like, that was
insane.
It's a nasty, nasty cold.
That is crazy. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for the interesting insight. And I can't wait to check out more episodes of Too Old to Date. Everyone else should check it out also. TooOldToDate.com. And on the podcast app. What I call it the podcast app, but it's really iTunes, right?
I think it's really Apple Podcasts.
Okay.
It's any of them. It's on
Apple Podcasts.
We're everywhere.
Yeah, so check them out. Write them a review, and then write me a review. You guys used to do that, and then you stopped. Maybe it's because I stopped asking. So thank you guys again, and write me a review, and also rate us, rate both of our podcasts. Give both of our podcasts love right now. Follow Too Old to Date on Instagram. Is it just Too Old to Date?
Mm-hmm. On Instagram, great. Twitter,
and
Facebook.
We met at Acme, same deal. We have like 20 Twitter followers. It's really sad because I feel like more than 20 people listen, so please make it right on Twitter. On Facebook, I really don't care. Just stay off Facebook. But just make it right on Twitter and participate in our polls on Instagram. And any last words? Now or never. Guys.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, we really appreciate this.
Thanks for being on. Hopefully everyone enjoyed this and this different perspective.
Yeah.
Peace.